Bibles, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is our text that we've been looking at here for this series. We're talking about living, having a living legacy of God's Word in our life. What do you want to be known for? What are you going to leave behind? I want to encourage you that you can leave a heritage of faith behind. Be a person who follows after God and pursues God, and that's going to be your legacy. Amen? You know, what you leave behind to the next generation. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're just going to look at verse 11. It talks about things that have happened in the past. It says that all these things happened unto them for example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So all the Bible stories, all the things that people who have gone on in the faith, who have gone on before us, the things that they encountered, the things that they experienced, the things that they saw done, they are examples for us. They are for our admonition, for our learning, for our instruction. And we can learn some things, can't we, about what happened with Moses, what happened with David, what happened with Ruth. There are truths that are eternal that we can learn from. And in essence, God left us a legacy. So we are going through some things and we're learning some things. Last week we learned about Abel, and we learned about the importance of giving and what kind of attitude we need to have when it comes to giving. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can learn from Abel. Now tonight, we're going to have some lessons about pleasing God. Amen? I want you to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11. You know, you don't have to wonder what stories are you going to learn from. God gave us a whole chapter right here. The Great Hall of Faith. All right? Everything in chapter 11 was done by faith, through faith, with faith. Okay? And so we can learn some things. And let's go to verse 5, Hebrews 11 and verse 5. It says that by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. How did he get that way? By faith. Okay? And was not found because God translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay? So, and then it says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what can we learn about pleasing God from the life of Enoch? I want you to go to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to learn some things about Enoch. Did you know that it was Enoch's faith that got him to heaven? How are you going to get to heaven? You're going to get there by faith. You can't get there by being good enough. You can't get there by trusting in someone else. You've got to get there by faith, and your faith has to be in Jesus Christ. It can't be in any other thing to get to heaven. All right? So Enoch got to heaven by faith, and he bypassed death. Hallelujah. Just one day, he just stepped over into glory. One day, Enoch was walking along on this earth, and all of a sudden, he wasn't on earth anymore. Hallelujah. He was in heaven. Yeah. And when he made that transition, he hit that Staples button and said, "That was easy." Don't know if he had a Staples button then. So, do you realize that in Genesis chapter 5, it talks about verse 19. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, And he begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Jared was Enoch's son, and Enoch lived 65 years, verse 21, and he begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. So something must have changed in Enoch's life when he gave birth to his son. He was 65 years old when he had his first son. Can you imagine that today? Amen. 65 years old and he's pushing a baby carriage. But something happened in his life when his son was born, and from that moment forth, he began walking with God. All right? You know, sometimes events in life can bring you to God or they can cause you to leave God. But we get the choice in it. Okay? And he walked with God 300 years. Man, we think it's hard walking with God 80 years. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. 30 decades he walked with God.
Hallelujah.
That's powerful. Yes. Is there something, do you think we can learn some things from Enoch's life?
Yes.
Oh, I got some good things to share with you tonight, I'm telling you. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. What other thing do we know that's 365? When you live by faith, you got to do it 365 days a year. You shouldn't take a day off. You shouldn't wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to take a day off from faith. No, we never take a day off of faith. Okay? And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. You know, when we go to funerals, we say God took him, but the Bible says the only person that God took, he took alive. Just a thought. Okay, what can we learn from Enoch? Okay, we know that it was Enoch's faith that got him to heaven. Enoch did not die. He was translated. First of all, he was here, then he wasn't here anymore, and he was in heaven. Okay? His testimony, he had a testimony. What was his testimony? He pleased God. Okay? We're going to get into that a little bit tonight. We're going to find out how we can please God. And he was satisfactory to God. He was approved by God. So it's possible to please God. It's possible to be approved by God. It's possible for God to delight in you so much that he just wants to be with you. He just wants to hang out with you. He just wants to run with you and be involved in whatever you do. Now, we know that from Hebrews 11:6 that faith is required in pleasing God. You cannot please God without faith. So you got to understand what faith is, okay? In pleasing God, you must believe that God exists, and you must believe that he is a rewarder of a certain group of people. Who does God reward? Those who seek him. How? Diligently, earnestly, who pursue God. Amen? God is looking for some seekers that will seek him first above everything else. Say, God is first in my life. Okay? Now, I did the math on this. Enoch, Jude 14 tells us that Enoch was seventh from Adam. When Enoch was born, Adam was 622 years old. All right? And Adam lived to be 930 years old. So when Enoch was born, he was the seventh from Adam. Adam was around when Enoch was alive. So it could be that maybe Enoch got to talk with Adam. Great, 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 great grandpa Adam. You remember those stories? Maybe he sat on Adam's knee and maybe Adam told him what it was like to walk with God in the garden. What was it like to fellowship with God and to just to have God with you? The Bible doesn't tell us, but We do know that Adam was alive when Enoch was alive. Whether they lived in the same vicinity, I don't know. Whether they were neighbors, I don't know. But it's a possibility. All right? Now, Enoch walked with God. That means he had habitual fellowship with God. He made a conscious decision that he was going to live his life on purpose for God. What does it mean to walk with God? It means you walk in his ways. How many know that God has ways of doing things? All right? So he began to do things like God wanted them done. He began to behave like God wanted him to behave. He began to talk like God wanted him to talk. He began to think like God wanted him to think. Doesn't the Bible tell us about how to do all those things? How to think on good things? How to behave right? How to conduct ourselves? Did you know that Enoch's name means dedicated and disciplined? If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to be dedicated and disciplined. God was correcting me this week. As I was praying this week, God began to share with me that I've got to guard my focus because it is so easy for distractions to come in. It is so easy, you know, because if you have a broken focus, you're not going anywhere. If you're scattered everywhere, listen, you can't be everywhere. You can't do everything. Amen? Amen? But there are some things that you need to do. There are some things that you should do. Okay? And the Lord was just dealing with me about guarding my focus. Enoch was devout. Enoch communed with God closely. Enoch and God were good friends. Are you a friend of God? You know, does God just show up in your life? And you have a friendship. You know, God is there when you need him. As a friend, does he have the ability to speak into your life and to correct you? How many know that a good friend will not let another good friend fall without warning them or trying to help them? Amen? Are you a friend of God? Something to think about. And Enoch was a real person who pleased God. He preached and he prophesied. He warned people, according to Jude, about God's coming judgment. You know, Enoch lived in a wicked time. Do you realize that he lived after sin had come into the earth? But yet, he made a conscious decision to walk with God. That's important in pleasing God. I'm just kind of laying the foundation. Is that all right? So, what does it mean to walk with God? You know, Enoch walked with God. That was his testimony that he pleased God. So, go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8, 58. What does it mean to please God? And I won't have you turn to every scripture, but you can write it down. Because as believers in Christ, we have to be skilled in God's word. We have to be able to rightly divide it. We have to know it. We have to study it. We have to use it in battle. You know, the way to resist the enemy is by simply telling him what was written. That's how Jesus defeated the devil. When temptation came, Jesus said what was written, and the enemy left him alone for that time. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 58. And It says this, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be near unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. So if you want to walk with God, you've got to incline your heart to him. You've got to walk in his ways. You've got to keep his commandments. You've got to ask God, how do you want to do this? God will let you know exactly how he wants things done. Aren't you glad for that? God is a specific God. So if you want to walk with God, you got to incline your hearts. Write down this verse, Psalm 89, verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15, it talks about walk in the light of God's countenance. Isn't it much easier to navigate through darkness with a light? Much, much easier. Can you imagine driving on a night like this without any headlights? So those headlights kind of help guide the way. You've got to walk in the light of God's countenance. You've got to walk in his presence. Are you familiar with God's presence? Are you at home in his presence? Do you feel welcome in God's presence? You know, when we have a sin consciousness, when we're conscious of our sins, we want to run from God's presence. Just like Adam, when he sinned, what did he do? He hid from God's presence. He had been walking with God's presence. He had been walking in the light of God's countenance. Then all of a sudden, when sin entered in, he wanted to separate that. You want to walk in God's countenance. Write this scripture down, Amos 3:3. It says, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? How many know that you got to walk in agreement with God? You've got to agree with God's word. You've got to agree with God's standard. Amen? If you want to walk with God, you're going to have to be in agreement with him. It's hard to walk together when you're not in agreement. If you're not in agreement with God, it's like a dance partner always stepping on your toes. You'll end up with a sore foot. But you got to be in unison. You got to be in harmony. You got to be in agreement. The world doesn't have a right to tell us what standards we should live by. Only God's word is the only standard that we live by. And when the world's standard contradicts God's standard, you can bet you're going to go with God's standard. Amen? You got to be in agreement with God so that you can walk with him. Can't walk together if you're not in agreement. Genesis 17:1. God told Abraham, he said, you need to walk blameless before me. I mean, I got to walk without blame? Yeah, it's called walking uprightly, walking in righteousness, being holy because God is holy. You got to walk blameless. You know, the Bible teaches us to live above reproach, doesn't it? We've got to live in such a way that goodness can overcome evil. He told us not to render evil for evil, didn't he? This is how we walk. This is how Enoch walked. You understand that when you walk with God, you're pleasing God, and when you please God, God's going to move miraculously in your life? How you walk determines what you have. Jesus said, wide is the way to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life. If you're walking crooked, you know, God will help straighten the crooked path out. You exert a lot more energy walking on a crooked path than you do a straight path. It'll take you a lot longer to get to your destination if you're going like this, as opposed to this. So how you walk will determine what you have in life. Did Abraham walk with God? He certainly did. God said, I want you to leave where you are. Okay. What did Abraham do? He started walking. Do you realize that everywhere he walked, he possessed? Do you know how important it is that where you put the sole of your foot? You are claiming it for the kingdom of God. That's walking with God. You know, when you walk with God, you walk in authority. When you walk with God, you walk in peace. When you walk with God, your feet are on a sure foundation instead of shaky ground. In Deuteronomy, write this down, chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. You've got to walk in a straight path, being led by God's commands. And he said, you should live, prosper, prolong your days, and possess God's gifts. How does a possessor walk? What does it mean to walk in prosperity? Well, if you're walking in prosperity, you're certainly not discussing poverty. How many want to walk in prosperity? Well, do you know that 3 John 2 says this, Beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper and what? Be in health as your soul prospers. If you are thinking, let me put it to you this way. If you have a poverty mentality, you know, I heard a testimony of a minister. He bought his grandmother a nice suit. The suit cost like $600. When he gave it to his grandmother, she said, I'll wear this when I die. She had it in her closet for 5 years with the tag still on it, waiting for her to die. She didn't wear it until she died. That's a poverty mentality. His heart was he wanted to give his grandmother a gift so that she could enjoy it now. Can you say amen? God wants you to enjoy things now. But that was a poverty mentality. We've got to let God break down some mindsets in our life. Because some of our mindsets are hindering us for where God wants to take us. But thank God that we can renew our minds. We can scrub our minds clean. We can wash them with the water of the Word. We can wash all the junk out of our minds so that we can walk in the fullness of God. You know, there was a time in my life and in this ministry where I was being intimidated. I didn't know I was being intimidated when I was being intimidated. But thank God that God put something in my hands that revealed truth to me, and it changed my mindset. Guess what? It helped me to overcome being intimidated. And that set me free. And I'll tell you what, being free is a whole lot better than being intimidated. Because when you're intimidated, the devil takes your gift and uses it against you. This is about how we walk. How you walk really exemplifies your attitude. How does a defeated person walk? Or a depressed person? A depressed person has a certain walk. A fearful person has a certain walk. Your walk reveals what you believe. Doesn't it? We've got to look closer at how we walk. Enoch did. What did he do? He walked with God. For 300 years. Go to Psalm 16:8. Psalm 16:8. I got to get going too for my time wise. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We've got to walk like people who can't be moved by circumstances, by pressures of life. We've got to walk free because the Lord is before us. We ought to walk like champions. How does a champion walk? You see, when you see a person finish the marathon, do they go, oh, whoo, I'm glad that's over? No, when they finish, there's victory. We got to walk in victory. How you walk reveals how you please God. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they walked in righteousness. And you know, we got to walk in the light. Now, Let's talk about pleasing God for the last few minutes. When you please God, it means to gratify Him entirely. It means to please Him well. It means to be fully agreeable with God. It means to be acceptable and well-pleasing. It means to be good. It means to be well done. See, pleasing God is an act of faith. You've got to believe God exists. You've got to believe He's a rewarder. Do you believe that God rewards you? Now, He doesn't reward wickedness. He doesn't reward pride. He rewards righteousness. He rewards faith. Proverbs 16:8. Go to Proverbs 16:8. Lord, help me to get to where we need to be. Oh, I'm sorry. It's verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So pleasing God comes with great rewards, doesn't it? Okay? Did you know that Jesus pleased God? In John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, it tells us that Jesus did nothing of himself. You've got to be careful in exalting self. Even when you make this statement, oh, how did you get that? I believe for it. You know, that puts the attention on you, doesn't it? Where after, in reality, it's God who gave you the faith to believe. It's God who made it possible. So if you go around saying, I believe in that, people might say, they might exalt your faith. Yeah, you might have believed for it, but ultimately, just give the credit to God. Take the I out of it. Just say, God gave it to me. Amen? But Jesus, he also said that, he did not act on his own accord or his own authority. He said whatever the Father taught him. Jesus' words were the Father's words. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he said, because I always please the Father. Do you realize that for 3.5 years, actually for 33 and a half years, Jesus always pleased the Father. He always did what the Father wanted. He always went where the Father sent. He always spoke what the Father said. He always ministered how he saw the Father minister. Why? Because his goal was to please the Father. That needs to be our goal, to please our Father. What does it take to please God? Is God pleased when you know the Word? Is God pleased when you worship Him? Is God pleased when you tell someone else about Him? You know, there's multiple ways to please God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's my favorite word to say, Thessalonians. I just love saying that word. It just sounds so awesome, like I'm a theatrical performer. Thessalonians. I really do. I love that word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed, that word allowed actually means approved. Did you know that God approves of you? If you put your faith in Jesus, God approves of you. Okay? As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Do you realize God trusts us with his good news? God considered you trustworthy to give you his good news to benefit your life and to help others change their life. We have been entrusted with the gospel. That's powerful. Do you realize that God didn't entrust his angels with the gospel? He didn't commission the angels to go preach the gospel. He commissioned you and I to preach the gospel. Think about that. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which tries the hearts. You're either a man pleaser or a God pleaser. You choose. If you succumb to peer pressure, you're pleasing men. For neither time, verse 5, we used flattering words, as you know, or a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. So you got to seek God's approval. God entrusts you, then he approves of you. You got to speak to please God. You know, you got to be careful of flattery. Did you know that one of the tools that was used against Samson was flattery? The devil will flatter you to get your secrets. He may not know where your strength comes, but he'll flatter you to get your secret. One of the tools used against Samson to get his strength was flattery. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, obviously he was talking about this a lot. We beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received us, how you ought to walk and please God. So you would abound more and more. When you walk with God, you're pleasing God, you are destined to abound more and more. God will add on to you heaps and heaps. Bundles of bundles. Okay? The Bible is very clear on how we should please God. How we should gratify God. How we should be approved of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. God is very clear about what pleases him and what doesn't please him. Numbers 14, he told Moses, I was not pleased with that group because they tempt me and they don't believe me. God is not pleased when you don't believe him. It pains God when we doubt him. You know, this all relates to Enoch. We're learning what How Enoch walked with God and he was not. God took him. He walked from earth into heaven in one step. His testimony that he left behind, his legacy that he left behind, was that he pleased God. If you were to talk to Enoch's neighbors, you would have said, boy, there's a man that pleases God. If you were to talk to Enoch's mother-in-law, you would have said, my son-in-law pleases God. See, when you're a person who pleases God, you don't hide it, you don't do it in the shadows. You do it in the open. See, one who pleases God can't be ashamed of God. You're not afraid to express your praise to God because you please God. You want to get on the housetop and you want to shout it from the housetops that you please God. When you're a person who pleases God, you can't be silent, you can't be still. When you're a person that pleases God, you are a person of action. You've got to express. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do good. Communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is what? So God is pleased with thanksgiving, with praise, with kindness, with generosity, and with helping others and helping the needy, God is pleased. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. We're going to go to Romans 8, then Colossians 1. And then we're going to be done. Okay? Romans 8, Colossians 1, and then we're going to be having fun and be done. Romans 8 and verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh, what? So when I'm living or acting or talking out of the flesh, in other words, you're agreeing with a desire within your flesh. It could be, you know, when someone insults you, what does the flesh want to do? You want to insult them back or give them a good one, right? Okay, so when you respond out of the flesh, guess what? You've now stopped pleasing God. And you know what? We all have flesh. Our flesh is like an unruly child. The best way to keep our flesh under is through discipline. Amen? So we have to continually discipline our flesh because our flesh will get out of hand if we let it. Guess what? Our flesh is our responsibility. My flesh is my responsibility. Your flesh is your responsibility. Our flesh will get us into more trouble than the devil will. Because we got to keep our flesh under every day. Okay? So when we cater to the flesh's appetites, impulses, we cannot please God. And then go to Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll be done. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10. This tells us what we need to do to please God. Okay? That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto what? All pleasing. So how we walk worthy unto the Lord, we can be all pleasing to God. Okay? What pleases God? Being fruitful in every good work. God wants you to be fruitful in goodness. Doing good works. Well, I thought faith wasn't by works. No, but faith without works is dead, isn't it? So if you don't have any action to your faith, You know, faith produces good works. I help less because I'm doing it by faith. Faith and love is what's motivating me to help him. I'm not looking for anything out of it. I'm just going to do it because I love less and I love God. So I'm going to help him. Being fruitful. Fruitful means productive. Fruitful means effective. Fruitful in every good work. That means your life is producing some results. Is there fruit on your tree? How about your love tree? How much fruit do you got on your love? How about your patience tree? How about your long-suffering tree? What kind of fruit's on your long-suffering tree? How about your joy tree? Some people haven't cracked a smile in 6 months. You've been sucking on the lemon tree. And increasing in the knowledge of God. When you increase in the knowledge of God, God is pleased. What does it mean to increase? To have more. Do you know more about God today than you did yesterday? Then you're increasing in the knowledge of God and God is pleased. That's what it means to walk worthy of God. Unto all pleasing. Okay? Strengthened with all might. God is not pleased with a weakling wimp. What did the Bible say? Let the weak say I'm what? Did it say that? But what does the flesh say when it's weak? It says, I'm weak, I'm weary, I can't do it. That's what the flesh says. Listen, if your flesh is about to say, hold your lips together. God is pleased when you're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, his spiritual power. Boy, I tell you what, God must have been very pleased on Sunday. Woo, we had a time on Sunday. I tell you what, the Holy Ghost can come and do whatever he wants to do anytime, any place, anywhere. I don't put any limits on the Holy Ghost. If God was to say to change my message 5 minutes into my message, guess what? I'm changing it. Notice, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You mean you got to be joyful when you suffer long? Did you know that being joyful when you're long suffering pleases God? You know, I almost got impatient today. I was almost in agreement with my flesh's complaints today. You know how your flesh likes to rant and rave? Because your flesh always demands its way. And it's like your flesh has tantrums, doesn't it? But thank God that the flesh is not all you. The flesh is simply the house you live in. And I'm not going to let my house tell me what I need to do. I can do differently than what my house is saying. Did you know that my flesh is only a third of me? My spirit and my soul make up the other two-thirds. And when your spirit and your soul are in agreement with God's word, your flesh is in trouble. That means your flesh will have to follow your spirit and your soul, not the other way around. It was the other way around for too long. Now we got to change that. What does it mean to please God in every way? It means doing everything in the best manner, in the proper time, and becoming spirit-minded. A good work can be marred and rendered fruitless if it's done improperly, out of season, or in a temper of mind that grieves the Holy Spirit. That's according to Adam Clark. Doesn't the Bible say, grieve not the Holy Ghost? And sometimes the way we act, it grieves God. The way we talk, it grieves God. And when you're grieving God, you're not pleasing God. And when you're not pleasing God, you got to repent. Amen? Thank God that God puts repentant, God has repentant fire extinguishers in your life. That when your flesh wants to flare up and act in a way that it shouldn't, you need to be quick to repent. And thank God for people that are there sometimes to be the ones to squeeze the fire extinguisher. Amen? You know, the schools have fire drills, don't they? Where they practice getting out of the school in case there was a fire. We need to practice, we need to have flesh drills where we practice not responding to the flesh. Start when you wake up. Do an experiment. Turn off your alarm clock and start training your flesh to wake up when you want it to wake up. But I can't do that. Yes, you can. Now, it may take more than one day of training. You might have to train it for 30 days. Oh, on the other side of the coin, train your flesh to go to bed when you want it to go to bed. This being a morning person or a night person, that's the flesh talking. If you say that, you have just limited yourself to those times. What if God wants to use you in a different time? You've already said what time that you're available. So you've already told God that, I'm sorry, I'm not available at this time if you want to use me at this time. Uh-oh, I'm stepping on some toes right now. Do you want to please God or not? One thing that'll increase you pleasing God is fasting. For me, I've got to guard my focus. We've got to be zero-minded on some things. God is looking for a people to please Him. Because when you please God by walking with God, He will take you to greater heights than you've ever known. He will take you to places that you've only dreamed of. You know, I don't know if Enoch consciously thought that, okay, maybe he thought he would get to heaven sometime, but he didn't know that he would bypass death. But you know what? For 300 years, think about this now, for 300 years, from the time he was 65 to 365, he walked with God every day. He pleased God. He had good attitudes. He had to check himself. And look what God did with him. Look at the things that we can learn from Enoch. One man who walked with God. What can God do with you if you walk with Him and please Him? Think about what God can do. Why don't we stand up for a minute? Say, I'm a God pleaser. Say, I'm not a man pleaser.
I'm not a flesh
pleaser. I'm not a devil pleaser.
I'm a God pleaser.
I take His word
and
I live by it.
I do what it says.
I believe what it says.
I possess what it says I can have.
I'm a word person.
I'm a Jesus person.
I'm a spirit-filled person.
I'm a mighty person.
I'm a joyful person.
I'm a peaceful person.
I'm a trusting person.
I'm a fearless person.
Glory to God. Let's give God praise for who you are. You're a victorious person. You're an overcoming person. You're a smart person. You're a healed person. You're a rich person. Come on, say, I'm a rich person.
I'm a rich person.
Hallelujah. Jesus was rich, so you can be rich. Well, how do you know Jesus was rich? Do poor people have treasurers? Are we not heirs with Jesus? So if he was rich, you can be rich. But you got to walk in his ways. What are God's ways for being rich? Huh? You got to give to be rich in God's kingdom. You're a strong person. You're a free person. Hallelujah. You're an intelligent person. You're a wise person. Hallelujah. You're a person who excels. You're a covered person. You're a prayerful person. Hallelujah. Now let's walk in it. Let's make up our minds tonight. Amen? You're an evangelistic person. You see these empty seats next to you? Whose job is it to fill them? It's our job. Amen? You know some people that are available on a Wednesday night? Invite them to come. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I'm a can-do person. I'm a solution finder person. You can find a solution to everything. You just got to know who to ask. Amen? See, God is changing our image. You are no longer a defeated person. God is going to wipe out every negative word and its effect that was ever spoken over you in life. Because as far as negativity goes, you're a dead person. You are a flourishing person. You're a prospering person. What the Bible says is whatever you put your hand to, what? Prospers. Put your hands on your checkbook. Watch it prosper. Speak to it. I'm a prophesying person. Can dead bones live? Yeah, if you prophesy to them. I'm a believing person. I'm a courageous person. I'm an overcoming person. Do you realize that with these mindsets, you're pleasing God? Why? You're agreeing with what God says about you. And see, the more you say it, the more you believe it, and the more you believe it, the more you walk in it, and the more you walk in it, the more you'll see the effects in your life. I'm a hopeful person. I'm a looking up person. Hallelujah. Ah, yes, images are being changed. Father, right now, I just thank you, Father, for your fountain of joy.
Thank you, Father.
Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, give God praise. Give God praise for who you are. You are what the Word says you are. You can have what the Word says you can have. That is the truth about you.
Thank you for your trust.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that he gets drunk in the Holy Ghost.